Welcome to the Sunday morning services at the Airport Gardens Baptist Church. This is Sunday, September the 30th, 1984. My prayer is that this service will be an uplift and a blessing to your heart as we seek to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. May your heart be blessed today by this service. God bless you. We have a song this morning by the choir about prayer, and it says, "There's a garden where Jesus is waiting." We know Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. There's a garden where Jesus is waiting, a beautiful garden of prayer. Some of our choir members are not here. Ms. Lane is laid up with a broken ankle, and Ms. Frost has some leg problems. She's not been able to be out for the last few weeks. So we do miss our choir members when they're not here. But our choir at this time will sing "The Beautiful Garden of Prayer." Brother Tom, you come and lead it, please. Passages in the Bible where Jesus prayed is our scripture reading for today, Mark chapter 1, verses 32 to 39. If you care to turn there with us, Mark chapter 1, the 32nd through the 39th verses. "And at evening, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. and he hurt and he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. One of our key verses this morning is going to be the 35th verse. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. This week we need to really pray as we've never prayed before. Last night, around 7 o'clock or so, Goldie Zimmerman's last brother went to be with the Lord. And his funeral will be Tuesday, I believe it is. Is that right, Brother Earl? He was a doctor in Lexington, Dr. Arnold Combs. He's with the Lord now. He told them a few days ago that not to worry about him, that he was right with the Lord. And so the Bible says about a Christian today, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Let's also be remembering this week Wardy Honchell and their baby that's in the Haddon Hospital at this time. His wife called and talked last night to Myrna, and certainly they need their prayers. Brother Murdy Caldwell is in the hospital at this time down at the Hazard ARH. Let's be praying for him. And also H.C. Robertson, Jr., a fellow who works on the railroad, is going to have a trial Tuesday. They've got him for preaching on Sunday, of all things. He works on the railroad, and he's got a trial in Corbin for preaching on Sunday. We're living in tough times, friends. They don't want to lay him off, I guess, on Sunday because he's pastor at the Confluence Baptist Church. Let's pray for them. His wife called and talked to us on the phone this week and this past week. God's certainly able to bless. Let's be remembering these others that are listed here in the bulletin, Ms. Lane, Ms. Frost, and others that are here. Let's look to the Lord in prayer at this time. Lord, we thank Thee and praise Thee for Your love for us. We thank Thee that we're told in Your Word to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And Father, we know that we're told in Your Word also to cast all of our cares upon Thee because You care for us. Lord, may this day be all You would have it to be. As we go through this service today, Lord, we pray that men and women, boys and girls, would listen with open hearts and open ears, that Your Word could fall on good ground today and bring forth fruit unto eternal life in the life of a sinner as they would come to know Thee, and also in the lives of Christians as they live a closer life this week. We thank Thee already for what You're going to do, Lord, and help us to keep our eyes upon Thee. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.
Okay, for the last hymn, let's turn to page 325. Let's stand and sing, Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us, first, second, and fourth stanzas.
Blessed be God.
most of the notion of having Tom and Debbie and Francis sing us a trio. I'm not putting on the spot. I'd like for you to sing next Sunday, though. All right? We thank God for each one of you. And Brother Fred's out helping Kentucky Power Company today. And maybe he'll be here next Sunday, and we'll have us a quartet. Today we're going to be looking in the book of Mark, chapter 1, and also in other places in the Bible, as we speak on the prayer life of Jesus. The greatest person in the lids of the Bible, as far as prayer is concerned, is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. As I mentioned, today we're going to be preaching on the prayer life of Jesus, and next Sunday morning, prayer and revival in the church. There's a song that says, sweet air of prayer, sweet air of prayer that draws me from the world of care. If you and I put down on a sheet of paper the amount of time that we really spend in prayer, I guess all of us would be embarrassed. We just don't pray enough. I'm confessing for the whole church. I don't believe there's a one. I never have met anyone who said they prayed too much. Have you? Has anyone ever walked up to you and said, I pray too much? I'm going to have to cut down on my praying. I've never met anyone like that. The problem is, you and I, as God's people, we pray too little. We spend too little time in prayer. We're living right now in times where prayer in the Christian's life is desperately needed, as it has never needed before. And I believe this, all of our problems that we have in life, 99% of them anyway, can be traced to the fact that we do not spend enough time at the throne of grace. When we're standing up, our problems look pretty big, don't they? But I tell you, if we bow our knee to God in prayer and cast all of our cares upon the Lord, I believe our problems are going to get smaller and smaller and smaller. We look at our problems, and instead of looking to the problem solver, somebody say it like this: you'll never find JER33-3 busy. That's not a phone number, I guess, but that's a verse in the Bible. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. I would like to challenge each one of us today and this week, in fact, the weeks ahead, I would like to challenge us to begin to pray as we never prayed before, for our own lives, our own commitment to Christ, as well as for lost people all around us here who need the Lord. They're unprepared. There's only one heartbeat between them and a burning place. The Bible tells us to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The Daily Bread said recently, millions of believers may all at one time boldly approach the throne of grace. Each believer has the assurance that God hath inclined his ear to him as if he were the only one with a request. What encouragement that is. What encouragement. We need to pray. We'll never get a busy signal. are two key verses. Today are going to be Mark 1:35 and Luke 22:44. These two verses, one at the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry and the other one at the end of his ministry, finds him in both places praying. Mark 1:35 says, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." Over in Luke 22:44, this is Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. "And being in an agony," and this word agony, this is the only time it's in the Bible. The word agony is in the Bible only one time, and here it is, speaking about Jesus. "As he knelt there in the Garden of Gethsemane, and in just a few short hours, he is going to take upon himself the sins of this whole world." And he prays to his Heavenly Father. It says, "And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground." Friends, Jesus was a man of prayer. He talked to his Heavenly Father many times. The Bible even tells us to pray without ceasing. And in everything, give thanks. Mark 1:35 gives us the outline for our message this morning. It tells us when Jesus prayed. It tells us where Jesus prayed. And it tells us what Jesus did. He prayed. First of all, it says, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day." I'd say that is the best time to pray. In the morning. We have just had, I trust, a good night's rest. We're more fresh in the morning than we are at night. But I want to say this, the time that we pray is not that important. It is that we pray, that we spend time with the Lord. I believe this, if the devil can, he will get us too busy. He will get us too busy to pray and to spend time with God. I know this in my own life. When I come here to church of a morning to prepare for Wednesday night or Sunday, I see so much I need to do. But my friend, the thing that I should do and the thing that you and I should do together is to pray, to spend more time with the Lord. It says, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day." Jesus, in this verse, prayed before the day began. A great while before day. I don't know how many hours before the sun rose that he got up to pray. He was not going to let the devil master him. Why does the devil trip us up so easily? Many times. Our tongue says things that we wouldn't have said for $1,000. Why? We didn't spend time with God. We had the wrong attitude. I tell you, when you and I come to the throne of grace, in God's presence, we see ourselves as Isaiah saw himself. We preached about in Isaiah chapter 6 a few Sundays ago. Isaiah saw himself as undone and in need of help. And friends, every one of us needs help. Brother Earl mentioned this morning about Ms. Lane. We miss her. We've been taking a tape to her since she's not been able to come to church. But Ms. Lane said, "Let's remember each other in prayer." Friends, I trust you to say my name at the throne of grace during the week. I'm not going to say how many of you. I'm not going to ask you if you pray for your pastor during the week. I hope you do. Because I need prayer. As I might have mentioned last Sunday, if I get to the point where I don't need people to pray for me, I hope he takes me on out. We all need prayer. And the time that we pray is not all that important. It is that we pray. Jesus prayed in the morning in Mark 1. But you know, in Luke chapter 6, verses 12 to 16, it tells us something else about Jesus' prayer. It says, it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Now that's Jesus. He spent all night in prayer to God. You know what happened when the day came? Verse 13 tells us, and when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12. He spent all night in prayer. The next day he chose his disciples, and he chose Judas, one who would betray him. And he knew that Judas would betray him. Every place in the Bible that Judas' name is mentioned, it says, the one that will betray him. It always identifies Judas Iscariot. Jesus prayed all night in Luke 6. In John 17, if you have a red letter edition of the Bible, every word of Jesus in red, almost every word in John 17 is written in red. The very first verse says, John 17, these words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, every word from that point onward is red. If you have a red letter edition of the Bible, it's his prayer for himself, for the disciples, for the church. He said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. This prayer was at night. Jesus, just a few hours from this point, would be before Pilate and being tried. Jesus fed the 5,000 in John chapter 6. And the 15th verse of John 6 says, and when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, you know what he did? He departed again into a mountain himself, alone. What a king Jesus would have made. He could have turned every stone on that hillside into bread. He fed 5,000 men besides women and children on 5 loaves and 2 fishes. What a king he would have made. There would not have been any hunger. He would have fed everyone. And many people followed him just to eat the loaves and the fishes. They didn't follow him for the right purpose. And so they were going to make Jesus king. But he got away by himself. I believe he got away to pray. The Bible doesn't say he went away to pray, but it says he departed again into a mountain himself alone. This was at night. Because the disciples just after this were in a storm at sea at night. When to pray? I'm not going to tell you when to pray. But God helping me, I'm going to say to each one of us here, the pastor included, I want us to pray. Pray. To pray. The second thing here in Mark 1:35, it tells us where Jesus prayed. It says he departed into a solitary place. And I tell you, a solitary place is a place where there is no one but us and God. We can't pray with the radio blaring wide open or the TV on. I know this. God is able to help each one of us to find a solitary place to pray. God's able to help us to find that if we look long enough. We need to, Jesus said in Matthew 6, he talked about the people who love to pray, but you know where they love to pray? Standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. My friend, you and I need to be seen by the Lord, by God Himself. If we pray to please men, and just pray that so people can hear the words that we say. My friend, prayer is out of the heart. And God is listening. God has a listening ear. The Bible says His arm is not short and that He cannot save, neither is His ear heavy that He cannot hear. God can hear. There was a man that went to pray one time at the temple, and the Lord heard him. You know what he said? God be merciful to me, a sinner. And he went down to his house justified, saved. On his way to heaven. Because that prayer came from the heart. The Pharisee, you know what he prayed? I'm glad I'm not like so-and-so. Like this old publican over here, I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. It didn't come from his heart. He went home the same way he came to church, full of self. I like what Brother Don Cottrell said when he was here and preached for us those three nights. For those two nights and Sunday morning, last weekend of August. He said, when we go to church, if we leave the same way we came, something has gone wrong. My friend, I want to take you to the throne room of heaven, if I could. We need to pray. There in the Garden of Gethsemane in Luke 22, Jesus left the disciples and he went a little further. One thing about Jesus, friend, that you'll always find in the Bible, he went a little further. And he kneeled down and he prayed, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, what I will, but what thou wilt. And he came back to the disciples, and he found Peter sleeping. He found all of them sleeping. And we find in, this is Mark 14, this is Mark's version of the prayer there in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus said in Mark 14:37, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest thou not watch 1 hour? I don't know who wrote the song, Sweet Air of Prayer, but probably right there is where they got the inspiration for that song. Simon, what are you doing? You're sleeping? He said, watch and pray, that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Where did Jesus pray? In a solitary place. All who was there was Jesus and his heavenly Father in heaven. In order to really pray, we need to get away like Jesus did. It may be hard to find a solitary place. But I know this. Jesus said in Matthew 6, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet." This is why we close our eyes when we pray, usually. But you know what? You can be driving down the highway 55 mile an hour. Yeah, 55 mile an hour. And you can be praying with your eyes open. I wouldn't advise you to close your eyes then, but I tell you, friends, most of the time we need to shut our eyes. And that shuts out everything else and everyone else except the Lord. He says to enter into your closet, or wherever our solitary place is, and be alone with God. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. He'll reward us openly. We will have power with men as well as power with God. I love that song that Brother Tom and Fred sometimes sing. Without Him, I would be nothing. Without Him, I surely would fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. We went home from prayer meeting Wednesday night, and we're reading the Daily Bread. And the suggested scripture was just what we read earlier, Mark 1:32-39. I had not looked in the Daily Bread to see what Wednesday's scripture was. I believe God impressed on my heart this message today. In fact, the key verse for September 26th, Daily Bread, says, "And in the morning," talking about Jesus, that one of our key verses today, "He went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." A pastor said this, "The demand seems to be for outward activity, not quiet adoration, for banquets, not Bible study, for peppy meetings, not prayerful meditation, for showy works, not sacred worship. Simply being occupied with Christ and His Word is no longer satisfying to the average parishioner. Yet what would we think of a carpenter who was so busy building that he never stopped to keep his tools in working condition, or a farmer who wouldn't take time to oil his machinery? The child of God who neglects to strengthen his character by prayer, Bible study, and fellowship with Jesus is just as foolish." The song that Wanda played a while ago says, "Take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in Him always and feed on His Word. Make friends of God's children, if those who are weak, forgetting in nothing His blessings to seek." The devil doesn't care how much activity our church has, just so we don't pray. Just so we do it all in the energy of the flesh and not in the energy of the Holy Spirit. What did Jesus do when He got to that solitary place? It says He prayed. He prayed. Have you ever sat down somewhere and tried to pray for 15 minutes? You'd be surprised how many different things the old devil would have running through your mind. When I was working at Camp Nathaniel, we used to... They had a prayer sheet. They sent around among the workers every Tuesday, I believe it was. From about 9 o'clock in the morning till 9 at night, we were going to, a different worker chose a half an hour to pray during the day on Wednesday. That's when we had our campfire services for the cabins. I tell you, to pray for a half an hour and to center our thoughts, all that half an hour, on God. Tried to pray for half an hour? Jesus prayed. He meant business with his Heavenly Father. In fact, someone said it like this: prayer is the oxygen of the soul. Prayer is the oxygen of the soul. We certainly need more oxygen. I know I do. I saw a person over at the hospital one time who said, "I need more oxygen." This person soon went to be with the Lord, where the air in heaven is just right. My friend, I want you to know today that we need to pray. I want to give Brother Conlon an assignment. I used to give my students assignments when I taught for 16 years. I want Brother Conlon to write us a poem to read next Sunday on prayer. We're going to be preaching again on prayer next Sunday, prayer and revival in the church. I want to challenge each one of us here today to spend more time with our Heavenly Father in prayer. I believe this: He had rather have our fellowship than all of our activities that we could produce. He'd rather have our fellowship. The disciples came to Jesus one time in Luke 11:1, and they said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." And he gave us what we know today as the Lord's Prayer. They didn't come to Jesus and say, "Lord, teach us how to preach." No. Teach us how to pray. And I would say that today from my heart to your heart. Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. We used to have a sign down in the fellowship hall that said this: prayer is like a spare tire. If you don't use it until an emergency arises, you may find it has gone flat. If you and I do not pray when the sun shines, don't watch, it might be a little hard to get in touch with heaven. Not that it's hard to get in touch with heaven when storms come. I know this, friends, every one of us are going to have some storms to go through. That's the way life is. We're going to have some storms. But I know this, the same wonderful Heavenly Father who guides us when the sun shines is the same one who guides us during the storms of life. He says, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." You might not have thought of our invitation hymn that we've got in the bulletin as an invitation, but we're going to sing "Footsteps of Jesus." Footsteps of Jesus. I got a letter from Brother Rosenbaum about a week ago And he wants us to pray as a church. Next Sunday, we're going to let each one of you that would like to take a half an hour to pray, the week of the 7th through the 14th, to sign up and pray during that time. We need to take time to pray. If you today have a need, whatever that need may be, you may want to come forward and say, Pastor, I need to pray more. I have not been taking my problems to the Lord. I need to pray more. Whatever God says to you, do it. That's what the mother of Jesus said to the servants there at the wedding, isn't it? Whatever he saith unto you, do it. And that's what I'd ask you to do today. Not what I say to do, but what he says to do. As Brother Tom leads us in this invitation. 333.
Each one here today, and go with each one, Father, as we go out to the world. May our prayers be with those that are sick. In Christ's name, amen.
God bless you, Brother Jerry.